Welcome back to our Psalms of Histories series. We are working our way through 1 Samuel 16 and 17, looking at a period of David's life where he's a shepherd. There was no doubt a period in which he's in the fields as a kid. Nobody knows who he is. He's the youngest of eight. His father, Jesse, learning how to play music, learning how to write psalms, considering God being his good shepherd. This season of life will be interrupted when he gets called to a meeting with Samuel, where Samuel anoints him to be the next king, but he goes back to the field. And yes, he'll be going to the palace of Saul to play music, back to the fields, back to the palace, back to the fields. And it's during this season as the shepherd. No doubt David writes some incredible songs. We've picked out four, I think, of note. We've already looked at Psalms 8. We've looked at Psalms 23. We are going to look at two psalms, kind of wrapping up this section, beginning with Psalm 95. The heading is titled A Call to Worship and Obedience. You'll note if you're looking in the Bible that there isn't a very specific titling attributing Psalm 95 to David. And yet you can rest assured without really any doubt that this was written by David, though we don't have it pinned in the Psalms, primarily because of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, which quotes a big section of this, and the author of Hebrews directly attributes it to David. So we have the scripture confirming that this was authored by David. Let's dive in. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Let us sing. Let us shout. Note, shout joyfully. To whom? The rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. How? With thanksgiving. Recognizing God has done so much for us. You know, the one thing we can give to him is our praise, our worship. Interesting that the only thing, the word worship, it's to attribute worth. It's to exalt something above yourself as being better than yourself. The only thing that God can't do is worship, for nothing is greater than God. He's given that to us, this sacred gift. What can we give the God who has everything in response to all that he's given us? Our praise. That we can sing, we can shout, we can come before his presence with a thankful heart. He says, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Now, why? Well, he'll answer this, verse 3. Why should we do this? For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. And how so? How do we know that the Lord is the great God, that he's the King above? Well, because verse 4, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Again, David in the field, looking at the natural world around him, thinking about God, singing and praising and shouting joyfully, this thankful heart. Why is he the great God? Well, he's looking around. You made all of this. By your hands, you've made these things. You hold them together. He says, oh, come, verse 6, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This physical presentation representing the spiritual heart. You know, I think within our worship, it's okay to let there be a physical expression of a spiritual reality. Like that sometimes the body helps unlock and express something deep within. We do that with dance. We dance. We celebrate at a wedding and we dance to songs. And this is the expression of our joy and merriment and celebration. But when we worship God, there can also be physical expressions helping the heart. He describes, he says, come, let us worship. Let us bow down, like literally to lay prostrate. This act of humility, of the recognizing of God's power and sovereignty. He says, let us kneel, this act of surrender. you know, if someone were to come up behind you and put a gun in your back, say, stick them up. What do you do? Hands straight up in the air. Why? Because this is a physical expression of what? Of surrender. Don't shoot. I'm giving up. I'm not a threat. So often within our worship at church, that we can lift our hands, not because we're trying to reach to God, though that could be an expression, but sometimes it's an act of surrender. I'm surrendering myself to you, to your will, to your purposes. Let us kneel before the Lord, for he is our God. That's why. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Again, this psalm's not particularly attributed to any season of David's life. I've placed it during this season of shepherding, and this is one of the reasons, because he comes back to this imagery. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And because of that, then we get to the application. This application is built upon, I think, three different instances in Hebrews. First, the declaration, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me. Though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And the song ends. I mean, what a way to end a song, David. We're the sheep of your pasture. We're your lambs. We're submitted to you. And then like the closing bridge, the riff is like, today, hear his voice. Don't harden your heart. And then there's the example, like, why? Well, if you go back in Israel's history, in the rebellion, when they got to the land of Israel and they decided not to go in because of their unbelief, God judged them and they wandered for 40 years. God was disappointed. You know, the only thing that God can't forgive is unbelief. God can forgive any sin, but the sin of unbelief. And so within this context of worshiping, for he is God, there's then this application. Hey, hear his voice and submit to him. Don't harden your heart. Why? Because there are consequences. Psalms 104 is the last of these psalms that we're going to be looking at. It's also the longest. So we're going to kind of save quite a bit of commentary. We're just going to work our way through it. But again, I think you'll see David in a field, how this would all tie together. Again, just background, 104, not specifically attributed here in the text to David. However, every scholar, every translation does, going all the way back. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's how it opens. It's how it'll also close. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor, majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain, just the majesty, the awesomeness of God. Verse 3, he's going to talk about God being seen, his might being seen in creation. He says, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. That's turning a phrase, isn't it? Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. His power being seen in the flood. He says, verse 5, you who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Again, speaking of God, his power in creation, his power, his awesomeness. Looking back at the flood, like you covered the earth with a flood. And then those waters at your rebuke, they fled. Genesis 8. Verse 3, I also would like to point out that it's the same God. By your rebuke, they fled. Matthew 8, verse 26 has Jesus on the Sea of Galilee during a storm, and it's his rebuke. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and they were silent. They obeyed. Verse 10, transitioning kind of on the idea of water. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heaven have their home. They sing among the branches. His water, he waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. Interestingly, like the same natural forces in the earth, water, that God used to judge the earth, we see here he uses to satisfy the earth. Sustenance. God's hand continuing in the natural world, verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle. Again, I see David, you know, out there watching all this happening around him, you know, thinking of God, contemplating. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. And trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. Again, I just think he's looking around at him and he's seeing all these different things or his own experiences. The day shifts to night, he writes. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. And the Jewish way of looking at a day, it was evening and morning were the first day. So he begins with the moon and then he transitions to the sun. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. Hey, at night, things come out. The young lions roar after their prey. They seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and they lie down in the dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you've made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There's ships that sail about, and then there's the Leviathan, which is a crazy reference, Job 41. You don't really know what the Leviathan is, which you have made to play the air. Verse 27, the dependency of creation on God. These, all of these wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they're filled with good. You hide your face, they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your spirit and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke, maybe volcanoes. I will sing, he closes, his response to all of this. Looking around at the natural world, seeing God's hand, which by the way, I just kind of related, but you know, so many of the things that he's describing, he's attributing to God. Within our more modern scientific age, we would come up with all other types of causes, but I hope you know that why science might explain how things grow and photosynthesis and how everything is interrelated and connected. Please understand that there is a God behind it all. Sadly, in today's more modern world, we look at the natural world as its own God without seeing the God behind the natural world. But he sees these things and he rejoices. I will sing to the Lord. David declares, as long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. And then again, I like how he kind of closes it. Got to hit him. He says, may sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. These are the Psalms of history, specifically attributed to the season of David's life where he's a shepherd. We've looked at Psalms 8, Psalms 23, Psalms 95, Psalms 104. All the audio and video you can find on our website, calvary316.tv/histories. calvary316.tv/histories. This is all podcasted. You can also find it on our YouTube channel, which is calvary316.live. Thanks for joining me. And then check out the next study in our Harmony of Histories. And then next week, we'll be unpacking additional psalms that are related to, well, chapter 17 and the Battle of Goliath. God bless.